Yo, give me your top five WWE finisher moves of all time. I've got no order. Rock Bottom, Stone Cold Stunner, Pedigree, Undertaker Chokeslam, and Sweet Chin Music.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at season win totals to help you guys get some ideas or some thoughts, and if you want to make some bets on these over-under totals for the season wins for the NBA season, which is the preseason's kicking off in a couple of days, the real season about 3 or 4 weeks away, so we're getting pretty close to it. So I am joined by one of my Basketball Monster colleagues, someone who dabbles a little bit in the business of sports gambling, and that is Greg Ehrenberg.
As Greg runs in, we realize this could get dangerous.
Greggy?
You know, it's funny, Josh, I was thinking about this because you did the team previews with some of the some of the guys who cover the teams, and there was definitely a bias, I don't know if you recognized it, towards the overs.
Yeah, I think 28 teams went over.
So there's a little bit of a bias now. Of the teams that we support, if there's any bias from us, it will be towards the under of those teams.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I've definitely gone the under on the Bulls. There is no way I'm going the over on that one. I tend to be a little bit pessimistic. But yeah, I think the Sixers, the Lakers, and maybe the Warriors were the only three teams that went with the under in my team previous. People can correct me. But there was a definite bias in that direction. But we're going to attempt to not have that sort of bias when we're looking at the over-unders for this upcoming season. We're using the DraftKings totals for the season wins, which we looked at a couple of days ago. So given some of the news that's come out in the last day or so, we might make a couple of changes to what we had initially picked. Michael Bolton's ready, Greg.
Let's get to it.
All right, let's start with the over-unders. And if you don't know what over-unders means, Vegas or the sportsbook sets a line. How many games you think this team will win? They'll set it at 50 and a half. Do you think they'll win more than that? Do you think you win less than that? Over-under, pretty straightforward. I think most people will understand how that works. So, Greg, let's start off. We're going to go in alphabetical order through these teams. DraftKings has the Atlanta Hawks set at an over-under of 24 and a half. What say you?
Yeah, so this is a really low number. I also think it's probably fair to expect that the Hawks have the worst team in the league. So I kind of have the Hawks pegged right around like 24, 23 wins, so it's a slight under for me. It's not something I actually placed a bet on, because I do think the number is generally fair, but slight lean towards the under. Looking at the Hawks this year, I think that Trae Young, people might be underrating him a little bit as a fantasy asset because of how terrible he was in the preseason, but I think he's going to be better in the actual regular season than what we've seen from him so far.
Yeah, I agree that will be the case with Trae Young. We'll see if that actually works out, of course, but yeah, I do agree that he's being a little bit underrated. I have gone the other way with them. It's a soft over for me for the Atlanta Hawks, not by a huge amount. Maybe they get to 25 or 26, but that if I had to make a bet on it, that's the direction I'd go. It's not one of those ones I'd look at as being an absolute definite that I would be, I've got to go put all your money on this Hawks over. I think that and with the majority of these, a lot of them are pretty spot on where I believe they should be. But this isn't one of those ones where it comes out to me as having a tremendous amount of value. But I do have them as a soft over at this point. The Brooklyn Nets is a team, clearly. Actually, no, we're going to do Brooklyn or Boston. Which order I've got them in? No, we're going to do Boston.
In alphabetic.
Yeah, Boston is next. You know why I get that confused? Because on Basketball Monster, we go with team abbreviations, and Brooklyn is BKN, and Boston is BOS. So the BKN comes before Boston in abbreviations, but in terms of actual names, it comes after. So Boston Celtics, over-under 57.5. That is massive. We have differed on this one as well, Greg. You've gone the over, and I have gone the under.
Yeah, so I went back and forth on this one a little bit. I think In terms of raw talent, the Celtics should hit the over. The one thing that gives me a little bit of hesitation is I don't know how much this team is actually playing for regular season wins and how much they're playing for the postseason. I think we know almost for sure Kyrie Irving's going to miss games this year. He misses games during the regular season almost every year. One thing that is definitely a little bit concerning is that Gordon Hayward in the team, whatever you want to call him, the media days, kind of hinted at that he's open to not playing both sides of back-to-backs, at least to open the year. So if we're going to see Gordon Hayward limited to playing, I don't know, games maybe in the mid-60s or so, and then Kyrie Irving also missing games, that is a little bit of a concern for me. But the reason that I have this pegged as an over, and this is also not one that I have a play on, is just because I do think that there's so much talent on this team, and it is a very good team.
Yeah, that is you know, key to look at how strong this team is. I went with an under, but maybe it's a 56 wins instead of the 57.5 that they get to. I do worry a little bit that they take it a bit easy. There is some injury-prone guys. Marcus Smart's not the guy who stays healthy all the time. Al Horford has had his issues with back problems and concussion problems. Hayward and Irving, we know all those concerns there. So there are some issues with them maybe pushing, not pushing quite as hard, being in that comfortable position of mid-50s in wins and not necessarily going that high. And 57 is a shit ton of wins. And getting over that is not something that happens all that often. So I've gone with a safer bet there. What I think is a safer bet anyway, and gone with the under for the Boston Celtics. The Brooklyn Nets, Greg, they've got an over-under 31.5, and another one where we've differed in our opinions.
Yeah, so I like the over here, and one of the reasons I like the over might be something that you didn't consider, and that's I'm kind of bullish on any of the teams that I think are possible destinations for Jimmy Butler. Obviously, we don't know right now where he's going to be traded. But to me, there's at least some percentage chance that he's going to be traded to the Nets, the Clippers, the Heat. So I'm on the over for all of those teams just because I think that we have to add some small percentage of wins to each of those teams on the chance that they add Butler to the roster. As the Nets are right now, while they're not necessarily a world-beating type team, I do think it's a team that played very competitively in a lot of games that they really had no business being competitive in last year. I think a lot of it is because they're a well-coached team. Mm-hmm. I think they have a lot of pieces that kind of work together and play well. Even D'Angelo Russell missed a lot of time last year and was limited for part of the season. I expect him to be healthier this year, although that's not a given.
Some could say that not having Russell actually gave you more wins. That could be an argument you can make as well. But I understand what you meant.
Yeah, I think I think that is a legitimate argument to make also, but I still believe in Russell as a prospect overall. Not that I think he's going to be some all-star type player, but I do think that he could be a solid starting caliber point guard type of player. And the other thing also is that he's somebody who could use possessions. He could be a high usage guy in the Nets offense. He could be a go-to scorer, which is important for a team like the Nets who don't really have many guys who could score. I like Jared Allen a lot, and I think that he was underutilized a little bit last year. He should see more minutes, which would help them this season. Also, this is not one that I have placed a bet on, but I lean towards the over for the Nets.
Yeah, I haven't placed a bet on it either. I've gone the under slightly. I think that 30 wins is realistic for them to get to. 31.5 means they've got to win 32 to get the over. I'm not so certain about that. I really like Caris LeVert, Jared Allen, D'Angelo Russell, Spencer Dinwiddie. There is some talent there. I'm just not sure there's enough to push them over that number, but it is pretty close. I think they're probably more of a 30-31 win team than the 32 or 33 win team. The next two we do agree on, and one of them has shocked me. I couldn't remember picking this, but we'll get this in a sec. The Charlotte Hornets, 35.5. We have both gone the over with that one. I'm pretty comfortable with the over on this one. Greg, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, so I have two bets on the Hornets that I've already placed this year. One is on the over 35.5, and then I bet them, I think it was at +180 to make the playoffs. I think I made that bet a few weeks ago. So the Hornets this year, I think it's a little bit of a situation of addition by subtraction. Yep. Whereas they had Dwight Howard last year. Dwight Howard really played individually okay, except there's kind of this thing with Dwight Howard, wherever he goes, he's such a negative energy to me in the locker room, and that's not usually something I put a whole lot of significance in. But Dwight Howard's somebody who I kind of make an exception for. I'm not sure if you kind of feel the same way about Dwight Howard, but to me, his presence in the locker room really does seem to limit the success of a lot of teams, at least over the last few seasons. And that's why, even though he will play okay, we see him switching teams rapidly. There aren't many teams that are keeping on to Dwight Howard for a long period of time. And then Cody Zeller, who's going to be taking a lot of the minutes from Dwight Howard, assuming he stays healthy, I think is a really underrated player. He's a definite plus player. I think it was so 2 years ago, before they acquired Dwight Howard, Cody Zeller by box score plus minus was the most positive player on the Hornets roster. So big positive that he's going to be getting more minutes. I think that there's an argument to be made that he's actually more valuable in terms of actually winning basketball games than Howard is at this point in his career. And then we also have Nicholas Batum should be healthy for the entire season. That should help them out. I think that 35 and a half is just too low of a number.
Well, they won 36 games last season. I can see them improving on that this season, and more performance from Malik Monk. I agree with you on Zeller. I said that last season. I think Zeller is actually a more impactful winning player than what Dwight Howard is. I still stand by that. Zeller has his injury concerns, but I do think it, and again, playing guys more at their regular positions, Batum playing up a position, a little bit more Jeremy Lamb at the two. Kid Gilchrist is such a big negative offensively. And maybe getting him out of the rotation, moving him up to a more natural power forward as well as another situation. And again, they won 36 games last season, and they tanked their asses off down the end of the season. They probably could have won 37-38. So expecting a regression on them doesn't seem like the best move. I think they've got 40 wins in them this season. I didn't list this as one of my best five bets, but I do think it is absolutely worth one. And some of these others, the Hawks, the Celtics, the Nets, I'm not super confident on those. They're sort of borderline ones. This Hornets one is one that I would place a bet on. In terms of going the over, now at the start, Greg, I said that we were going to be pessimistic with our teams and that I have the Bulls under. And now I've looked and I realize I actually picked the Bulls over. So I apologize for that misspeaking at the start. They've got a 28.5 and we've both gone over on the Bulls. Even though I think there are people talking shit about the Bulls, and by shit I mean incorrect statements in that, oh, they're going to win 40 games, they're definitely going to be in the playoffs. That is nonsense to me. But I do actually think that they can win more than that 28.5. I thought for some reason they were set at like a 31 when I was there looking at off the top of my head, but I do think they can get over this 28.5 clearly, and we've both gone the over here.
Yeah, this is also, I didn't place a bet on the Bulls, but I did consider it. And I think maybe the reason I didn't is just because how anti this Bulls team I am, at least compared to the people I've talked to on Twitter about them. Because I've had people saying to me, like, the Bulls are a lock to be a playoff team this year. It's a massive upset.
I just want to say six seed ahead of the Pacers.
They are the odds on them, just yes, no to make playoffs. They're minus 1,000 to miss the playoffs. Yeah. So this is, they're not a lock to make the playoffs. And I was kind of hoping that the over-under for them was going to be set in line with what people assume to think about them on Twitter. Like, I was hoping that they were going to be set at like a 35.5 win total or something like that, and I could bet the under. But 28.5 is just too low for me. There's too many crappy teams in the Eastern Conference that I think they should be able to pick up some easy wins. But I'm not comfortable enough with the over either, because I think this could just be such a crappy team on defense this year. We know Jabari Parker's already openly admitted that he's only into playing one side of the court. And if you saw a picture of him at media day today, he came into the season in the shape of somebody who's only going to be playing basketball on one end of the court this year. He was not in shape at all.
Did he come in looking better or worse than Deion Waiters?
I think that Jabari Parker looked worse than Deion Waiters. Wow. I thought that Parker was the heaviest looking player with Waiters coming in second. Like, Jabari Parker looked massive sitting at the podium.
I'm looking this up right now.
Yeah, he did not look great. So if you look at this team, I think that there are some individual players that I do like Lauri Markkanen I like a whole ton. I like Wendell Carter Jr. And then Jabari Parker, Zach LaVine, I think are talented scorers, but I don't know how much they actually contribute to winning basketball. I will say this with LaVine, looking at some of his advanced stats and some of his synergy numbers. When he was at Minnesota, he was a more effective offensive player than what he was last year in Chicago. Now, there's a couple of reasons that this could be a possibility. One could be that he was coming off an injury. And then another thing also is, if you look at where he was effective when he was with the Timberwolves, it was on catch and shoots. It was playing off the ball and then not as effective as an on-ball playmaker. And I think last year they had so few guys on the team that were able to create their own shots that LaVine kind of had to spearhead the offense by himself. And I just don't think that's the optimal role for him. So I do think that there is a way for him to be more successful than he was last season, just the issue I have is they've paid LaVine so much money that the idea is that he's going to be the go-to playmaker for them, and I just don't think that's the ideal role for him.
Yeah, that's the concern, is that he is going to force it again like he did last year, and his efficiency was obviously horrible last season, and that is a legitimate concern about his value for this upcoming season. But I've got the Bulls as a real soft over there. I think I can easily see them winning 30 games. I can't see them winning 40, and if things start to click and they get big wins against some of these shitty teams, the Kings, the Hawks, the Knicks, and they can challenge maybe the Nets, maybe get a couple off the Pistons, they can get to that number, but I don't have it as a super strong play personally.
Were you able to dig up any pictures of a fat Jabari Parker?
He looks a little fluffy. I'll give him that. Doesn't look in the greatest shape. I did look it up. He looks a little rounded. I'd still put Dion ahead of him, but he didn't look the greatest. But we'll see how that pans out, if he can whip himself into shape in the next 3 to 4 weeks. The Cavs, Greg, we both agreed here. They're set at 30.5. They've still got good players. Kevin Love, George Hill, Kyle Korver. I suppose using the term good player on J.R. Smith or Jordan Clarkson is probably a misnomer at this point. Larry Nance can play. Ante Zizic can play. There are guys who can play on this team. So 30.5 is obviously a big, big dip from where they were last season. There's a clear reason for that. But that is almost a 20-win drop-off due to the absence of LeBron James and Jeff Green.
LeBron James.
Of course, Green probably the biggest loss out of those two. It's a pretty comfortable over for me here with the Cavs, I think.
Yeah, I like the over here a whole bunch. My only hesitation would be, how many games is Kevin Love going to play? I would love to have that number right now, not just for betting purposes, but also for fantasy purposes, because Kevin Love is also somebody who I legitimately think could be a first round value in fantasy this year. Just if we go back to look at the numbers when he was with the Timberwolves, he was a monster when he was the go-to guy on offense. Now, the one issue I have with this Cavs team, and the only reason that this isn't like one of my biggest bets is on the Cavs, is because we've seen Kevin Love get injured a lot and get injured frequently over the past couple seasons. So durability is a little bit of a concern, and then obviously more of a concern because he'd be carrying a bigger workload this season. So if Kevin Love stays healthy and plays, say, like 75-plus games, I think this is a mid-30 win team that could possibly even make the playoffs. If he gets hurt, though, then I think they're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, look, they are without him. That's it would be a real struggle for them to get there. But I'm pretty happy with going with the over here with the Cavs. There are plenty of consistent enough veterans who should get them to that level. Now, the Dallas Mavericks, the next team, Greg, they're at 34.5. We both went with the under here. I think this is mainly because of the competition in the Western Conference. I like their team. Adding Luka Doncic and DeAndre Jordan to this team is a big boost. And they did, where did they win last season? They won 24 games last season, but they're obviously considerably better than that. They weren't trying 100% half the time. It just feels like it's maybe 3 or 4 too high here for Dallas. Just, again, given the level of competition and the 12 teams pushing for 8 playoff spots, they might be on the outside there and start to pack it in a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and the other concern I have here is, how good is DeAndre Jordan still?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I think that there was a real noticeable drop in his athleticism last year, which is really starting to show up in the blocks category.
Yep.
And if you consider how much that DeAndre Jordan's game is reliant on his athleticism, he doesn't really have any other NBA skills. He's just really big and athletic. And if he's going to be less of an athlete this year than he was last year, which I think is relatively should be expected because he saw a drop in athleticism last year and he's a year older. So I don't know that DeAndre Jordan is some massive, big improvement to the team. I do think he helps because they didn't have a ton of production from the center spot last year. Luka Doncic is obviously also a huge boost to them. But like you said, the Western Conference is going to be tough this year. It's deep. There's a lot of good teams. So it's hard for me to see the Mavericks getting to 35-plus wins to hit the over. So it's an under for me.
The Denver Nuggets, we've both gone over there at 46.5. Last season, the Nuggets ended up with 46. So that's right on where they were. We think they're better. A full season of Paul Millsap, the addition of Isaiah Thomas onto this team, the natural improvement of Nikola Jokic, and hopefully a coach that realizes the best way to utilize him and Jamal Murray and Gaz Harris should see them pushing much higher than that. So we've both gone the over on Denver. I think that they can push towards even a top 5, top 4 seed in the West potentially. That's a big ask, but I think they can get there. with teams like Portland and Minnesota, I believe, taking a step back, they can jump up there and get those extra 2 to 3 wins. So this is not necessarily one of my best bets, but actually, no, that's not true. It is one of my best bets going this Nuggets over. I'm pretty big on them going, you know, being better than they were last season. That's really all you're asking for in this situation.
Yeah, I like the Denver over as well. Also, point guard Mike Malone, if you've seen the video of him in practice, he's been practicing with the team running the point. So one of the other things that you kind of touched on that also has me a little bullish on the Nuggets over is their division is not quite as strong as it appeared to be, I think, when the lines came out, just because I think that in general, the Trailblazers are a little overrated heading into the season. And then also just that there is some amount of wins added to the Nuggets just by the fact that I think the Timberwolves are just not going to be good this year. That's the sense that I'm getting from everything that's been coming out with them recently. Not that I think that they're going to be one of the worst teams in the league, but I don't think the Timberwolves are a playoff team this year. And the fact that the Nuggets were going to have to play a few really difficult games against the Timberwolves that they no longer have to play, and that this is a number 46.5 that they were already right around last year, I think that they should be in like the 48 to 50 win range.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. Obviously, we both went with the over. The next one is the Detroit Pistons, who won 39 games last season. Their over-under is set less than that, 38.5. And Greg, you went under it. I went over. I think that they can be better, a full season of Blake Griffin, a different head coach, maybe say a better head coach in Dwayne Casey, maybe some growth from Luke Kennard and actually using him as one of the best three-point shooters in that rookie class. I think they go over and they can push to 40, but you've gone under the 38.5, which would see them with a worse record than what they had last season.
Yeah, so here is my logic behind that. And actually, part of it was because I was looking at the record from last year. And I do think it's sensible to say, like, hey, a full season of Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond together, they didn't have Blake Griffin last year, they should be better. But I think that if we're looking at the team last year, they were better pre-Blake Griffin trade than they were after Blake Griffin trade. I'm not convinced that Blake Griffin is a better asset than what Avery Bradley and Tobias Harris are. So I think it's reasonable to think that this is a worse team that they're fielding this season than they did last year.
Yeah, and that's fair enough as well. I could understand that argument if that doesn't work there. If Reggie Jackson still can't stay healthy, they don't have a real reliable option there. If Stan Johnson doesn't take a step forward, there's, you know, issues with a Dwayne Casey system being implemented. But I still feel pretty okay about taking the over with the Pistons, given they won the 39 last year. Now, another one we differ in, Greg, is the Golden State Warriors, who are set with a sky-high 63.5. I actually went the over here. With the Warriors, you went the under. I'm not super confident with it at this point. I think they can be a 65 or 66 win team. I guess it depends on how hard they want to push. I guess it depends on how things work with DeMarcus Cousins. But yeah, they didn't win 60 games last season. A lot of people forget that, given how easily they won in the playoffs, but they only won 58 games. So I'm expecting a big jump forward. Are you seeing them just taking it easy like they did last year again?
Yeah, so there's a couple reasons here. Number one is, this is a team that's definitely, they're playing for the championship. They're playing for the postseason. The regular season games don't mean a whole ton to them. And the other thing also is the Marcus Cousins situation. So he at around January, February, and they're going to have to integrate him in. And I think it's going to be a growing process that they're going to have to figure out, how does he fit in? How does, because it wasn't great before. And I think working him into the system is going to take a growing period that could cost them a win or two. And then in addition, they didn't win the 64 games last year. And I think we're going to see rest games for Draymond Green. There's going to be games off for Steph Curry and Kevin Durant because they want to keep them fresh for the postseason. And also, they've played so many games over the last few years that really does tend to add up, because they've been playing, what is it, like 18 to 22 games or so, or whatever it is, more than every other team over the past few seasons.
Yeah, and that is a concern. So I look at this, and I did take the over, but I'm not feeling super great about it at this point. I can see it blowing up in my face and not necessarily working out. It's not one that I'm super keen on putting big money on, but I do see the Warriors. You're going over, you've gone the under there, but it is one that I'm not, again, super confident or super locked in on that as an option. Let's go to the next bunch. The Houston Rockets, this to me is crazy. 55.5, the line is set. They won 65 games last year. I know they lost Luke Marmute. I know they lost Trevor Ariza. I know they had a Carmelo Anthony. But a 10-game difference, it seems crazy to me.
Yeah, so is that what we've determined the value of Carmelo Anthony is negative -10 games? Like, I don't like Carmelo Anthony. I know you don't love Carmelo Anthony as an NBA asset at this point in his career. But this is a massive drop off, and I do think that it's possible that Carmelo Anthony contributes something to this team. I don't think that it's a guarantee, and I don't think that it's maybe even the most likely scenario. But I don't think that it's a totally done deal that Carmelo Anthony is just going to destroy this team or anything like that. But 55.5, it's a really low win total. And then also people might point out, like, oh, Chris Paul is going to miss games. Probably, but Chris Paul missed a lot of games last year. And when Chris Paul, Clint Capella, and James Harden were all healthy, they almost never lost.
Yep, that's right. They killed in those lineups with those guys. I think they lost about two or three games, perhaps. Like, they didn't lose. It was crazy to see that. And I don't understand this. It's such a big 10 games is huge, and that's to me one that you should be looking at putting a bet on. Now, whether they adjust that in the coming weeks or not when we see preseason, but that just does not feel like it makes a huge amount of sense to me at this current juncture with what we know with this team. I don't really get it. I don't understand why we're sitting here looking at a team to win 10 fewer games. Now, they probably won't. They might not get to 60 again. That's a real possibility. And those Imam Bute and Ariza losses can be significant, but they still should be able to beat 55 wins. I feel pretty good about saying that for the Houston Rockets. Next up, Greg, we're looking at the Indiana Pacers. They're at 46.5. We differ on this one. You went over, I went under. The Pacers ended up last season surprising everyone, winning 48 games. So the 46.5 is a step back. I think that they're not necessarily going to take a big step back, but I do think that they will come back maybe a game or two there, maybe down to 45 or so, if there is some regression for some of these guys. But you're looking at them to maintain their steady footing from last season.
Yeah, so I think one of the main reasons for me that I think they're going to improve is I'm still pretty bullish on Miles Turner. Okay. I think that what happened with him last year, I just didn't really understand it. And I know going into last year, both of us were really high on him from a real-life perspective, from a fantasy perspective. And you've dialed back your expectations for him this year versus what they were last year. I'm kind of keeping the same expectations for him, whereas I think that he has that all-star potential. I think he could be really good this year. I'm just kind of chalking it up to he wasn't very healthy last year. He had a concussion, I think, at one point. He had a knee injury that kind of lingered. There was a bunch of stuff that just kind of racked up for him that I think kind of piled on top of each other. He never really got consistent amount of healthy playing time. Even though he didn't miss a ton of games, there was a lot of games that he was limited in, and he got into foul trouble a lot. I just think that it wasn't really the best of Miles Turner, and I think we could see him improve a lot this year. They also added Tyreek Evans, which I think should be able to help. I think one thing that you might be a little concerned about is possible regression from Victor Oladipo, which I think is a very real possibility, because Oladipo basically went from being like an above average type starter to being legitimately one of the best players in the league last year. And there is reason to think that he's going to regress a little bit, but I think that there is enough in terms of the addition of Tyreek Evans and a possible uptick in the production of Miles Turner to make up for that, and that has me over their win total.
Yeah, look, I've talked about the Oladipo stuff quite a bit and my thoughts on perhaps him regressing. I think that is a concern. The Turner concussion stuff was a real problem. I think it did play into that, but I'm still not convinced that they're going to push up, and because they're not going to be surprising people next season. And maybe there's something to say in that. Maybe it's not. Maybe they're just that good, and that's how good they were. And we saw them push the Cavs all the way to 7 games in the playoffs. So maybe they are actually better than that. But I do worry that there is some regression coming for them. Now, the Clippers had an over-under, Greg, of 35.5. We both went the under here. We're factoring in some Jimmy Butler potential. Now, it's looking like he might go to the Heat at this point. But 35.5 for the Clippers, given we're trying to push, hey, if Butler goes there, I think they smash that. If he doesn't go there, I still think that they can get that number. So that's a fairly strong one to me.
Just you said the under. I have the over.
Sorry, we both had the over. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah.
If I said that incorrectly.
I really like the over for the Clippers. Like you said, that if they were to get Jimmy Butler, their over-under becomes like, what, 42.5 or so, maybe even higher than that.
They won 42 games last year.
And like I said before, I think the general perception of people is the Clippers traded Blake Griffin to the Pistons. Therefore, the Pistons are better. The Clippers are worse. Whereas post-trade, the Clippers got better. The Pistons got worse. Tobias Harris, I think, is an underrated NBA player. I really like what the Clippers have. 35.5, I agree with you. even without Jimmy Butler, I would expect them to go a little bit over the 35.5, and then just the percentage chance they get Jimmy Butler, and this basically becomes a lock. Like, it's a, there's almost no way they go under 35.5 if they do happen to land Jimmy Butler. And I do think the two most likely outcomes for a Jimmy Butler trade are either the Clippers or the Heat, with the Nets being the third team in that.
Yeah, that seems to be the way, the order it seems to be going in. Miami Clippers, and you throw the Brooklyn Nets in there as another option. So yeah, we're both going over on the Clippers. Now the Los Angeles Lakers, we're both in unison here. The Lakers set at 48.5. They always tend to be higher. I went under with them last season. They actually beat their over-under with that strong stretch in that March run. 48.5 is a significant jump forward. We know that LeBron is there now, of course. We also know that Rajon Rondo, Lance Stephenson, Michael Beasley, and JaVale McGee have signed on to make no sense in terms of that sort of rotation. They won 35 last season. We are both going the under. I think 45 to 46 is more realistic for the Lakers. I don't like them at 48.5. That's basically saying they're going to win 50 games. And I know it's LeBron, but I'm not sure I can buy that.
Yeah, so I have a lot of concerns with them. First off, the health of Lonzo Ball right now. Yep. One thing that we have kind of gotten the idea of out of Media Day is it appears that Rajon Rondo is going to open the season as the starting point guard for the Lakers. Now, that's not necessarily a huge knock on Lonzo Ball in terms of like, oh, Luke Walton thinks that Rajon Rondo is better than Lonzo Ball, but it does mean that they kind of feel that Lonzo Ball isn't totally healthy right now. And just the idea that you're going to have Rajon Rondo playing alongside LeBron, it's a really wonky fit to me.
Yeah, it is.
And then there's just a lot of other players who I think I'm lower on than most people. I don't think Brandon Ingram is terrible, but I don't think that he's some future MVP all-star that a lot of people seem to think. And then also when you think about the betting market, a lot of this is based on public money. There's a lot of Laker fans. They're probably the most popular team in the league. They have to set this over-under a little bit higher than what it should be based on projected win losses, just because Lakers fans are going to be betting the over regardless of what the number set at. So just with that information alone, it's almost always going to be some amount of value there in betting the under on the Lakers win total. I think I said something similar last year, and then they ended up beating the number, so it didn't hold true. But in general, that kind of logic is going to hold true over time. And then also with the Lakers, Kyle Kuzma, I think a lot of people like him a lot. And somebody else who really beat the expectations of both mine and yours last year. But I think that the shooting is going to regress from him a little bit. He shot 37% from three last year. He only shot 30% from three in college. And given that he's still not a great free throw shooter, I just don't buy that he's going to make that high percentage of three-pointers this year.
Yeah, that's the concern I have with him as well. He struggles defensively. Where's he going to fit in with that team? But everything you said there echoes what I think about the Lakers and their over-under total for this season. I got it wrong with them last season. I still feel pretty good about going the under again. We also are in concert with the Memphis Grizzlies. Their over-under is set at 33.5. They were obviously terrible last season with 22 wins. So we've both gone over here expecting at least a 14-win improvement. I think getting a full season out of Mike Conley, getting Marc Gasol who tries, getting Kyle Anderson and Jaren Jackson, all that should add to them, pushing the Dallas Mavericks at that 34, 35, 36 type of win mark. And they're not tanking. They want to try and push the playoffs. It'll be in futility, but they are wanting to push forward. And I think they can beat this 33.5 over-under.
Yeah, so I don't expect them to make the playoffs, but I don't think it's impossible either. I think this is a way underrated team in terms of a lot of the players they have. Jaren Jackson Jr. I think is an awesome prospect. Their defense is going to be ridiculous this year. If they get Conley healthy and they have Gasol and Jaren Jackson playing down low, this should be one of the best defenses in the league. 33.5 I think is way too low of a number. The over is one of the first bets I made when the numbers came out. Is Mike Conley going to be healthy all year? Maybe. That is a little bit of a concern, but even if he isn't healthy, they might be able to hit the over 33.5 with half a season for Mike Conley in like a worst case scenario. I don't think that's a totally impossible scenario. Kyle Anderson, also another player who I think is pretty underrated by the buckets crowd, which is kind of the general basketball fandom. But Kyle Anderson does a little bit of everything. He's also a plus defender. And I just think this Grizzlies team could really be good. And if some teams like the Spurs and the Timberwolves drop off, I don't think it's impossible that the Grizzlies sneak into the eighth spot.
Now, there is definitely a chance that they can do that, and that's why we've both gone the over under with the over with their total there. I agree on Kyle Anderson, very underrated. His defense is very important. Maybe there's a healthy Chandler Parsons getting you 40% shooting in 18 minutes a night like he did last season. Jackson, Gasol, Conley. There's lots to like about them. At least hitting that that over under mark. The Miami Heat. Greg, it's 40.5 was set. Now, when we originally did this, you went with the under and I went with the over, but you are backtracking on that based on the Jimmy Butler news, and you are joining me over in the over column.
Yeah, so not only am I joining you, except as soon as the rumors came out on Twitter today that that Jimmy Butler requested that, well, I wouldn't say requested a trade to the Heat, but said that the Heat were his preferred destination, I actually right away went and bet the Heat over at 40.5. So I wasn't really convinced on the under. I just kind of slightly leaned that way. But then once there was a chance that Jimmy Butler got traded there, it was a pretty strong over for me. If he goes there, this is another one that they should pretty easily smash the over if they were to get Butler. There are players I like on the Heat. Josh Richardson, I think, is another really good player that a lot of people don't necessarily realize how good he is. Whiteside was a total shitstorm last year. But I do think that there's potential for him to be a really solid positive contributor. There's also a chance that he's going to be another negative this year, but there is the upside for him to be a good positive for him. And then the other thing also with the Heat is they're kind of in the middle tier of the Eastern Conference. I do expect them to make the playoffs, but they're better than so many teams that are in the conference that they should be able to pick up a lot of wins just by that nature.
Yeah, it's, again, you're talking Eastern Conference here, not that many good teams. And if Butler arrives, it's pretty, I think it's pretty straightforward if Jim does arrive on this team that they will smash through that. And that's the way that it's currently looking, currently heading at the moment with this trade. Of course, nothing has been decided just at this point, but that's the way we're looking at them moving. So we've both taken the over there. The Bucks sit at 46.5. Greg, you went over. I went under with them. Last season, Milwaukee won 44 games. They do have a real coach now. But I am a little bit, I'm not certain on this one. I'm definitely not sold on it being an under, and I could very easily see it going over. It's expecting a 3-win improvement, which could come from any different source. It's Brook Lopez improving or upgrading the center position over the Muppet John Henson. That's a possibility. Yanni taking another step forward. Chrissy Middleton, Eric Bledsoe, a full season of Malcolm Brogdon. There are many reasons to think that. I think there's a little bit this weird crush in the middle of that Eastern Conference that someone is going to lose out there. And I think the Bucks maybe they're a 46-win team, but that still puts them marginally under. To me, it's a stay away on the underside.
Yeah, so I like the Bucks over quite a bit this year. I did place a bet on the Bucks over 46.5. And one of the big reasons, like you said, I really like Brook Lopez. He didn't play a ton of minutes for the Lakers last year, except it had nothing to do with him. It had to do with the kind of weird coaching of Luke Walton, which I didn't really bring up before. That's one of the other reasons I like the Lakers under, is because a lack of confidence in Luke Walton. I think that more minutes for Brook Lopez, I think that we could see him be a really good player like he was before. There used to be kind of the stigma that Brook Lopez is some kind of injury prone player, which I don't really think is the case. And Brook Lopez is really good when he plays. Also, Malcolm Brogdon missed games last year. Eric Bledsoe was acquired during the season, so they get a full season of Bledsoe, which they didn't have last year. So I do see reasons, and then also obviously the departure of Jason Kidd. I see reasons for them to be a better team this season.
Yeah, I can see all that. That's why they're really on the border to me. I've gone marginally under, but I can totally see that being the case for them. And they getting that extra move forward in those wins and getting those 4 or 5 extra wins to push them above the above the over-under. I'm just trying to look on some of the Australian sites here in terms of the win totals. They've all been taken off the board here, which is pretty interesting. I guess it's a Butler result, because I was going to try and sneak on a Miami over bet as well, but it looks like they've taken all the win totals off the board, unless I'm missing something. But yeah, can't say that, which is, it's very, very interesting that's what they've done over here. I don't know if that's the case over there, Greg.
No, so one thing that DraftKings has been doing, and the DraftKings sportsbook is relatively new. I live in New Jersey. It's one of the only states that you could use the DraftKings sportsbook in right now. But they haven't been very quick to react to news. So not just with basketball stuff, but like baseball stuff also. If a team comes out with a weak lineup, like I've been really quick to bet against them when lineups come out for baseball, and the books don't really adjust it for a little bit. And that's something we've seen with the DraftKings sportsbook for the Jimmy Butler situation also, where like the Timberwolves, which we're going to talk about next, they've just been left up there at the same number and haven't been changed, which is totally ridiculous because at this point we all know what the deal is with Butler. He's not staying there this year.
Yep. Yeah, look, that's we'll talk about that one now because they're set at 44.5. We've both gone the under there. I think there's a chance that they could drop below 40 wins, to be honest, this season, depending on what happens with what they get back. But Butler was the major reason they jumped up as much as they did last season. And if he goes, even though he's not necessarily a top 10 player in the NBA, he is still important to what this team can do. And yeah, it's just obviously a complete shit show going on with that team at the moment. And I think the under there is the right way to go about it.
Yeah, so we don't know what they're going to get in return for Butler, but given that this is the last year of his deal, he's not open to re-signing with very many teams, the Wolves don't have a lot of leverage. So it's they're going to get something back for Butler. We don't know what it is, but it's almost certainly, like 99.9% sure, not going to be the value of Jimmy Butler. And then I have no clue what the hell it is that Tibbs values in a player. So what they get back could be totally random, and he could actually be happy with the haul. And Tibbs is a total wild card in this negotiation. Like there might be a chance that he goes like, oh, I really want Hassan Whiteside from the Heat. And then we're like looking at it, like, what is a Hassan Whiteside, Karl Anthony Towns front court? Like, why does that make sense? But that could be what he values. And we don't know because Tibbs seems to be very out of touch with the modern NBA. So to me, 44.5 is just a very easy under because the number was opened at 44.5, assuming this is going to be their team. And they're going to be worse because they're not going to have Jimmy Butler. Where do you think that Butler goes?
Yeah, I think it's Miami. I can't see it not being Miami at this point. I think that's where they're going to get it done. It looks like it's going to be a three-team deal unless, you know, Thibodeau throws something weird into the situation. I think it is going to be Miami at this point. I've said that for the last, say, two or three days, and I'm sticking with it at this point.
Yeah, I think that's sensible.
The New Orleans Pelicans come in at the 44.5 as well, the same as the Wolves. I've gone under there. You've gone over. I don't feel great about that one in terms of it being an under, but it's still the direction that I'm going with New Orleans. We know that they were pretty solid last season, even without DeMarcus Cousins. They add Julius Randle to the mix. I'm not sure how the point guard spot, how Alfred Payton's going to go. Is it Orlando Payton? Is it Phoenix Payton? That's somewhat of a concern. At least they get a fully healthy Solomon Hill back this season, who looks like he could be a starter at the small forward position. How will Mirotić work playing a little bit more at small forward this season? I guess that's a concern. But I'm pretty on the border with this one in terms of where it sits. But you've gone over, I've gone under. So why are you more bullish on the Pelicans? And do you think that they're going to be, they won 48 last season. So that there is an element of regression baked into that number. And I've even gone further down. And I could be very clearly wrong about that, but you are expecting them to keep up the same momentum from last season.
Yeah, so the 44.5, I think, is at least in part because there is a little bit of a bias against Anthony Davis's ability to stay healthy, which I don't think is totally correct. Anthony Davis every year is among the league leaders in minutes played, so he's more durable than people think him to be. I do think that there is a chance that people are looking at the Pelicans saying like, the only reason they won so many games last year was because Anthony Davis didn't get hurt, and he's going to get hurt this year. 44.5, like you said, they won 48 games last year. They get a full season of Mirotić this year. They added Julius Randle, who I think is going to be a really solid bench piece. And should they have an injury to somebody on the team, I think that Randle's a great guy to be able to go to. We've seen him be able to handle a big workload down the stretch of the season from the Lakers last year. Alfred Payton, to me, is kind of interchangeable with what they had from Rondo last year, but I think there's more upside in Payton. Jrue Holiday was great last year, and he should be great again this year. I just think this is a solid team. I think that they're almost definitely going to make the playoffs, which maybe a little bit of a hot take. I think that 48 wins to me is a very replicable number.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I could see it going that way. I've got them a bit under that, but it will be interesting to see how that all pans out for the Pelicans. And now, Greg, it is time for your New York Knicks. They're going to be without Porzingis. Maybe the whole season. They're set at 29.5, and we have both gone with the under. This team is not looking good. I think that they're a real chance to be the worst team in the NBA this season.
Yeah, so the two biggest bets that I've made so far are on the Timberwolves under and the Knicks under, because this team just stinks. And I think that there is some belief that, like, Porzingis is going to come back later in the year, and that'll get them some wins down the stretch. I don't think it's a guarantee that Porzingis comes back. No. I think by the time that he's healthy enough to play, the Knicks could be so far out of the playoff race that they just say, why risk re-injury? Yeah. Let's just keep him on the sidelines for the entire year. Let's keep letting Robinson develop. Let's let guys like Knox develop. And let's keep Porzingis out for the entire season. I think that that's one of the more likely scenarios with how they handle Porzingis. And I think it's way more likely than that Porzingis comes back and plays a full 30-plus minute workload. So 29.5, I just don't see how this team wins games because there's so little talent there. Like, there's so little talent that I've seen Knicks fans saying, like, maybe Moutier will be better this year, which – if that's what people are talking up about the Knicks, is that maybe Moutier is going to be good, then I think that's enough reason alone to think that the Knicks are not going to hit over 30 wins. The other thing also to consider, their division is ridiculous. They have to play the Raptors. They have to play the Celtics. They have to play the Sixers. So that's so many tough games, and it's so hard to see them winning any of those. So for that, the Knicks are a very comfortable under for me. Like, I could easily see them around like 20 wins or so.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. If the over-under was set at 25.5, would you still go under?
Yes.
Yeah, so would I. Yeah, apologies to all you Knicks fans. I don't see them getting to I feel like that is a New York market bias pushing that up. Maybe Fizdale energizes things. Maybe Kevin Knox is Jason Tatum. He's not. Maybe he is. Who knows? I don't see that going on for the Knicks for this coming season. Greggy, let's move on to the next bunch. The Oklahoma City Thunder at 49.5. You went under, I went over. I feel less confident about that now than I did at the time. I think 50 wins is a possibility. The Westbrook injury, I guess, is somewhat of a concern. I still think he's going to be back, but if he gets hurt again during the season, they're not going to make that mark. I guess that's the question mark I would have there. I don't think it is I don't think it's a lock. I don't think it's a good bet or anything like that, but I do go the marginal over with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, so I'm also unconfident in the selection I made, which is under on the Thunder. The reason I lean the under is because of the injury to Westbrook. We saw a very similar surgery from a few years ago, and he ended up coming back and needing to have the same surgery done again. So I think that there is a decent chance, this is the third time he's had surgery on that knee, that we do see him miss a decent amount of games this year. And they did add Dennis Schroeder to the team. So that does help them in terms of having a little bit of Westbrook insurance, but the fit of Westbrook and Schroeder playing together makes no sense to me. So I don't see how they're able to coexist when they're both healthy. But just because of the uncertainty with Westbrook, I lean the under here.
Yeah, I can see that being the case and being a smart way to go about it. The Magic come in at a total of 30.5. We have both gone with the under here for the Orlando Magic. They won, if I can find this now, they won 25 games last season. So expecting a 5-game improvement from a team that added Mo Bamba and doesn't have a point guard, it seems pretty ridiculous to me. I think that's a pretty strong under to me with the Magic there. I don't see them improving that much to get... Look, John Isaac is a good player, and I think he can take steps forward, but I'm not sure that we get an extra 5 wins out of them this year.
Yeah, so I like Bamba as a prospect. The issue is bringing him into the team, how much does it help them? Because he's not coming into a position where they're weak. They already have Jonathan Isaac. They already have Aaron Gordon. They already have Nikola Vucevic. And even if I like Bamba as a prospect, I don't think that he's better than any of them as of right now. So when he's on the court, it's going to be at the expense of some of those guys, which negatively impacts their win total. They're not going to be competitive this year. They're not playing for the playoffs. They're clearly not playing for a long playoff run. So I think that they're just going to be trying to develop the team this season. And 30.5, it's a pretty comfortable under for me. Like you said, they only won 25 last year, and I don't think they did much to improve.
Yeah, it's a big jump forward to get to that 30 win or 31 wins to go the over, and I don't think that's worthwhile. Now, the Sixers, Greg, they come in at 54.5, and we both went with the over here. We know how successful they were last season. They won 52. This is a 3-win improvement to hit the over. An extra season from Ben Simmons, something from Markel Fultz, perhaps. Wilson Chandler with some wing depth there. Joel Embiid, another season into his career. If he plays an extra 5 games, you could easily see them winning those three extra games to hit that over. So we're both gone the over on the Sixers here. I think they probably look to be the third seed again in the Eastern Conference. Maybe they can push the Celtics. I don't think so. But yeah, pretty strong here in this mid-50s win over-under mark.
Yeah, I have the over for the Sixers also. The only bit of hesitation for me is that they play in the same division as the Raptors and the Celtics. So that's a lot of extra games against tough teams. But if you look at the team, it only makes sense that they would improve this year because of the youth of Embiid, the youth of Simmons. Embiid's only been playing basketball for a few years now, which is ridiculous considering how big he is and how athletic he is and how skilled he is. So Embiid should make another step, should take another step forward this year. I think he's going to be an MVP candidate, assuming he stays healthy, which I think he will. Ben Simmons was great last year, and I think there's upside for him to get better. I don't know if he's going to be a knockdown three-point shooter, but it does seem that he's going to be shooting some three-pointers this year. And then I think we talk a lot about, like, is Ben Simmons going to have a three-point shot, when I don't even necessarily think that's the most important thing, where it's, is he going to have any semblance of a jump shot? Can he make shots from the elbow? Can he make shots from the free throw line? Because if people are going to have to come up to guard him even from that point of the court, I think that can make a huge impact on the Sixers' offense and his ability to create space and find passing lanes to hit guys. Because as of right now, Ben Simmons is a real athletic freak, and people don't have to respect him, his ability to shoot from anywhere on the court that's more than 5 feet outside the basket. And I think that even if we just seen with an elbow jumper, it could really help him this season.
Over under 5 made threes for Ben Simmons. 5.5.
Jeez. I'll take the over, but it's mostly because I want it to be the over.
I thought I had him projected at more. I've got him at the under. I actually think he'll hit a three this season. I don't know what my projection's saying that he won't, but I'm going to go in and adjust that. But I think he'll probably go with 4 threes would be my guess at this point. That's why I said it at 5.5. So he will be. It's going to be, when he hits one, Twitter's going to melt down. I'm pretty sure that's going to happen.
The Suns, it'll be one of the high points of the season.
Oh yeah, no doubt about that. The Suns come in at 29.5 over under. We both went the under there. They were obviously putrid last season with 21 wins. They will be better. They'll be trying more. Trevor Ariza, DeAndre Ayton added to the team. Maybe they're getting another point guard. Maybe not. Yeah, I still think that's a pretty big leap up for this team that's in a tough Western Conference that realistically isn't that good, but they will be better than last season. I'm just not sure they're taking a 9-win leap.
Yeah, there's some concerns for me in terms of Ayton. I think will produce really good fantasy numbers, but I do think that there's a very strong chance that he's going to be somebody where there's a really big gap in terms of what does the casual fan think and what is kind of like the advanced analytics crowd type think of Ayton, because I think there's a chance that he's going to be just shit on defense. And I think that that could really hurt in terms of how positive a player he is on the floor, especially when they're playing against smaller teams. Like, I mean, they're going to get blown out by the Warriors. Obviously most teams are, but a team that plays smaller, like the Warriors, a team that could go small, like the Rockets, like they could really, Ayton could really struggle to stay on the floor against those type of teams. And then also another big concern for me is the health of Devin Booker right now. He had the hand surgery, and this is from an injury all the way at the end of last season. So the fact that it's been lingering for this long is definitely a concern for me. I don't think we expect him to miss games at this point, but I don't think it's a guarantee he's ready for opening night either.
I think he's going to miss a couple of games at least to begin the season. But yeah, we've got both gone the under here. We've also gone both with the under for the Trailblazers at 42.5. They, how many did they win? They won 49 last season, so that's a significant drop-off, but it's more that they didn't improve. They got worse, and all the other teams around them seemed to get better. They lost Shabazz Napier, they lost Pat Connaughton, they lost Ed Davis, all rotation pieces in their team. Yeah, Seth Curry's added. We don't know what he's going to be like after missing a whole season. There's just some real question marks with this team, plus other teams potentially getting better around them, like the Nuggets. The Clippers improving a little bit as well. The Lakers clearly, yeah, improving. So we've both gone the under on the Blazers. I think they personally miss the playoffs for this coming season as well. That is a big dip. And I've gone, mate, I think there may be a 40-41 win team rather than a 40-43.
Yeah, and then I'm just bringing up their point differential right now, because I'm pretty sure that they outperformed what their expected wins would have been just based on what their point differential was last year. And I'm still not really bought into the combination of Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum as being a great long-term pairing, just because they do so many of the same things that you don't want the two best players on your team to have all of the same best skills, because there's too much overlap there. There's not enough ability for one of them to be able to play off the ball and do a lot of things. There's not like one of them is a lockdown defender. So to me, the win total last year was a total aberration. I'm under on the 42.5. I don't feel 100% confident in it, just because it is still – the regression's baked into the win total number. But I do like under 42.5 for them.
Yeah, it's it's going to be weird to see this team. I think they are in for a pretty aggressive regression as they head into this season. The last batch of teams to go through now, Greg, the Sacramento Kings come in at 26.5. There's just nothing positive that I can really say about the coaching or the management of this team. They somehow won 27 games last season, but this is a team that did outperform their expected win and totals. They had an expected win-loss of 23, so got quite lucky in close games. That's an extra 4 games. I think that they're going to be, relying on young players a little bit more. That might actually work in their favor because Zach Randolph was shithouse last season, but there's going to be some issues if they're playing a lot of Marvin Bagley. I think going the under here, I think they're going to be challenging the Knicks as the worst team in the NBA. The Knicks are probably worse, but the Kings could have a worse record due to the quality of their opponents. And I think this is a pretty decent bet as an under here.
Yeah, I have the under as well. I didn't place a bet on it just because I'm uncomfortable placing an under bet on a team that has their win total set so low. And then kind of on the other side also, I'm not comfortable with taking the over on a team like the Warriors when they're set at 63.5 just because there's so little margin for error.
Yep.
When the win total is so high or so low. Like if you get lucky in a couple of games, all of a sudden they're kind of comfortably above the number. In terms of the Kings, I didn't like the Bagley pick at all. It also just kind of added to what I consider to be a place of strength for the team, especially when Luka Doncic was already on the board, and that was kind of the obvious pick there. Then we also have the Bogdanović injury, and that's also a little bit of concern because this is 2 knee surgeries for him in the offseason, and to me, he's one of their more important players. I think Buddy Hield steps up this year. I know that he's somebody who you see a decent amount of ceiling for, at least in your fantasy projections. And then also there's still, like, what are they going to do with Zach Randolph? Like, Zach Randolph could very legitimately be the big man who plays the most amount of minutes on this team.
I don't think that's going to happen, but Jaeger can screw anything up, so it is a possibility. I don't think it'll happen, but it's not. This team is just not good. They're not going to be good. They might be exciting. They might play faster, and they should play faster, but I don't think they're going to get to that 26.5 mark. There, the San Antonio Spurs, Greg, 44.5.
One thing before we move on, yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but Jaeger has already made his first statement that he's going to play the young guys more this year.
Yeah, he has. We'll see if that holds true, and we'll see what does he class as young. Anyone under 40? Does that include Kufos and Randolph? Like, I don't know what exactly he means. Now, hopefully, those guys aren't in the rotation most nights, and I do have a decent amount of confidence that will be the case. But I have yet, Jaeger's yet to prove to me that I can trust what he wants to do and what he does his best for a development of a team, because that clearly wasn't the case the last couple of seasons. The Spurs, 44.5. Greg, we both went under, and many people will look at this and say they won 47 last year without Kawhi Leonard, and then they added in DeMar DeRozan, and that's true. But they also lost Danny Green and Kyle Anderson, 2 players who are very, very good and were key parts of this team's defense. So you can say that they just added to DeMar DeRozan to a 47-win team. But you have to also say that they lost Kyle Anderson and they lost Danny Green. And that net difference there, I think, actually pushes them down. And I think they're a real chance to miss the playoffs this season, depending on how this mid-range battle is going to go between DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. Pop's a genius. We know he can coach defense out of pretty much anybody, but I just worry about losing Green and Anderson with those defensive abilities on the wings, having 1-3 on the roster. Yeah, expecting a big rise out of DeJounte Murray, 50-year-old Pau Gasol, how's that going to work? There are some worrying signs here, and it's not as simple as saying they added DeMar DeRozan to a 47-win team.
Yeah, and then something else that impacted the amount of wins they had last year that I think a lot of people kind of glance over or write off is that Kawhi Leonard played in, 8 regular season games for them last year. Yeah. That added some wins.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't play a ton of minutes in those games, but he was really good when he played in the regular season, which was one of the reasons that I kind of questioned how legitimate was that injury last year. The other thing with the Spurs, which I probably should have wrote this in a note to you also, one of the other things I like the under is plus money for them at 44.5. So as opposed to the typical like -110, -110, the Spurs are actually +115 for under 44.5, which makes me feel a little bit better about that number. And then also DeMar DeRozan, while I do think that he is a positive basketball player overall, I don't think he's nearly as good as the general public makes him out to be. I think a lot of people think like, oh, DeMar DeRozan, top 20, top 25 player in the league. Not even close to that for me. And the other thing also, LaMarcus Aldridge was really, really good last year. Like he played ridiculously well. He's now on the wrong side of 30, and I think that there's a chance we see him regress a little bit this year, which could really make another difference in their win total from last year because he played out of his mind last season.
Just checking on that, what you said about the plus money. I did find the Australian regular win totals here. I was missing it before, but they are also a plus on the under as well. So we don't use the same sort of odds that you guys use, but they're at $1.99 for the under, which is basically even money return bet, which I think would be a +100 for you guys, maybe.
Yeah, for us it would be, or it would just be written as even or plus 100. Yeah.
Well, that's exactly where they're at as well. So they're not at that negative number on the over under. So there is some, I think there's some significant value in them there. Now the Raptors come in at 54.5. We talked about Kawhi Leonard, that he joins the Raptors. He's fully healthy, apparently, and we've both gone the over here. I think they can challenge 60 wins. I don't think they'll necessarily get there, but I think that they can push to that. And I think they're a pretty safe bet for the number one. Or no, maybe not a safe bet, but I like them as the number one seed in the Eastern Conference for the second consecutive year.
Yeah, this number is a little bit silly to me when we consider how many games they won last year and the idea that we're expecting them to get worse, basically because they swapped out DeMar DeRozan for Kawhi Leonard. And I know that some people are going to look at the Kawhi Leonard injury last year and say, is he going to be healthy? And I feel pretty confident that Kawhi is going to be healthy. Yes, I think last year we just write off. I don't know what that will happen with Kawhi Leonard. Last year he seems to be happy somewhat in Toronto. We saw him laugh the other day for the first time ever, which was tremendous. And I really think it's going to be a very, very good basketball team. And they're a team that I could see myself betting as a long shot to win the championship.
Yeah, I think I've already put a bet on them to be the Eastern Conference winner for this coming season. I got pretty good odds of that. I think they were third favorite behind the Sixers and the Celtics when I made that bet. So I'm happy with where that sits at the moment. I've gone the over with them as well. Last two teams, Greg, the Jazz at 48.5. That is, I think that's a pretty strong over to me. They missed Rudy Gobert for a chunk of games last season and won 48 of them. There's consistency. There's second year Donovan Mitchell, a more comfortable Ricky Rubio who shot over 40% from three post All-Star break. There's just consistency in what they do. And if Gobert plays a full season, I think they smash this.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then also something that we mentioned with the Nuggets before, or that I mentioned with the Nuggets before, is there's a little bit of a bump there just by playing in the same division as the Timberwolves, where they're going to be getting a few games that are a little bit easier than what we would have expected. The over for me, the Jazz, that's a pretty easy pick. The one thing that I did consider that is a little bit tougher for me is who do I think is going to win this division between the Jazz and the Nuggets? I lean towards the Jazz. They're obviously also favored. How do you feel about that? Do you feel comfortable saying that the Jazz are going to win more games than the Nuggets?
Yeah, I think it's the Jazz. I could see the Nuggets doing it. I could see the Thunder pushing into it as well. But I would put the Jazz as the favorites for this division. I don't know what the actual odds are on the division odds. I'll bring up my odds here to see if I can tell you what that is. Where are we? Northwest Division. The Jazz are $3. The Thunder at $3.40. The Nuggets at $4.33. And then the Blazers and Wolves both at $7.50. So the Jazz are the favorites, and that would be the direction I would be. I'd be going in terms of a division winner there.
Yeah, so I think that one thing that I think is interesting, I have to bring this up to verify. I think that for the DraftKings Sportsbook, they have the Thunder with the highest win total of any of the teams, but the Jazz with the best odds to win the division, which is a little bit weird.
That's definitely a little bit weird. Those things should be tying in with each other, you would think, or you hope. Anyway, the last one, Greg, the Wizards, 44.5. You went over, I went under. The Wizards won 43 games last season. They add noted negative player Dwight Howard, but they should get more games out of John Wall, so that maybe balances that out. I think they're pretty right on it in that mark, and I could easily see them beating that 43.5 or 44.5. I think they're more likely to be a 44 win team or a 43 win team again rather than 45. But what's your reasoning to push them up to 45, a 2-game improvement from last season?
Yeah, so it's just a healthy, an expected healthy John Wall, because John Wall,
that's fair enough,
is the best player on the team. And then something else that I do think helped them with John Wall being out is that Bradley Beal really stepped up last year and I think made huge improvements that he might not have made if they had a healthy John Wall. So now I think that they have the potential to have healthy John Wall, healthy Bradley Beal playing together, which is a dynamic we really haven't seen from them over the last few years, is that two really legitimately great backcourt players And I do think that the Dwight Howard addition is a little bit of a concern for me. But still, I think that the healthy John Wall is enough for them to improve their win total over last season.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. This is one of those ones that I don't think is a great bet, but it is close, and I take the under. So, Greg, to wrap this up now, let's look at our best bets, your five best bets. What are they? Assuming they haven't differed from what you told me earlier in the week, or I didn't transcribe them incorrectly.
Nope, it is the same. It is the under on the Knicks, the over on the Grizzlies, the under on the Wolves, the over on the Clippers, the under on the Lakers. I placed bets on all five of them, and the two that I made the largest wagers on for me was the Knicks and the Wolves unders.
Yep. Now I've got a few of those that are the same. The Knicks and the under, I went as well as one of my best bets. The Grizzlies over, I went as one of my best bets. And the other three we have different. I went the Clippers over, the Nuggets over, and the Suns under as my other five there. So we'll track those five in particular.
Well, I had the Clippers over also.
Oh, you did. Sorry, we had three the same. So we'll track those ones. We'll see how we go on the two different ones, see who comes out on top. Hopefully we could easily all go five for five on both of those. That would be the idea for us to do that, hopefully. And hopefully you guys got something out of today's show. Greg, do you want to let everyone know where A, they can find you on Twitter, or plug anything that you want to plug? Go ahead.
Yeah, my Twitter is at GErenbergDFS. Anything that I ever write about for Basketball Monster or DraftKings, I'll post it on my Twitter. And then also I have my podcast, which is the Foul Balls podcast. I'll be starting that back up for basketball once the regular season starts, which is October 16th or so. And my podcast, just short, like 10, 15 minutes previewing the games from a DFS angle for the next day, and some of like my favorite value plays, guys to play up for, things of that nature.
Thank you, Stephen A. Smith, for that summary of your podcast. Go and listen to Greg's Foul Ball Show. Download it, rate and review it. Do the same with this show: Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up, hit subscribe, hit the notification bell, leave a comment, do all those great things. Become a member over at basketballmonster.com for access to projections, draft tools, draft tracker, trade analyzer, all that great stuff. Greg, thank you for jumping on and talking over-unders with me.
Yep, thanks for having me on, Josh.
Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya. The future MVP, Kyle Kuzma.